I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. It's off to the South Pacific for today's GeoQuiz. We're looking for an island that's part of the Federated States of Micronesia. There are some 600 islands in the group. The one we're looking for is a major one. It's east of the Philippines and southwest of Guam. The U.S. dollar is used on the island, but this place is famous for its stone money. We're talking discs carved from solid stone. They're big, up to 12 feet in diameter, in fact, and heavy. And you wouldn't use these stones to buy groceries or souvenirs. Rather, they're used for the bigger things in life, like bestowing honor, asking forgiveness, or asking your daughter's new in-laws to treat her well. So, where in the South Pacific is stone money used? Okay, you don't have to wait for this one. The answer is the island of Yap. That's where the world's Mary Kay Magstad came across this ancient currency.
A long time ago in Yap, the legend goes, people were always arguing about trading and doing business and what to accept as a method of payment. A chief had an idea while looking at the full moon. He said, "We should have something large, round, and beautiful, like the moon, for trading. Always there, like the moon. Something that doesn't break or wear out or get stolen." So the villagers of Yap set out in their canoes to find that something. Some traveled almost 300 miles to the island of Palau, where they found shimmering limestone. They carved discs of it with a hole in the middle to let people carry it on poles, says John Runman, an oral historian at the Yap State Historical Preservation Society.
If you look at the raw material of stone money, it really looked like a full moon, the color of full moon. And the people went to get their chief the moon, but they didn't succeed, so they get the next best.
He asked for the moon and they gave him stone money.
Right.
But this isn't just any old money, he says, and not only because it takes 20 strong men to carry each of the heavier pieces.
Stone money is not used to ask for a wife, for instance. Stone money we can give to somebody to build a house. I can give to another family to ask forgiveness or apology for a wrongdoing a member of my family has caused onto the other family.
One of John Runman's colleagues offers to take me to a stone money bank. It's in the middle of a forest. There are no bank windows, no tellers, not even a building, just discs of calcite and limestone of various sizes propped along a stone path leading to a village. I ask Flonun Kanid, also from Yap's Historical Society, if the big pieces of stone money are more valuable.
It depends on the story and how they get it here to the island. If it costs somebody's life to get it here, it is more valuable than these big ones.
So the value of Yap stone money is subjective, and bigger isn't necessarily better. The most valuable pieces are the ones with heroic stories attached. Sometimes the pieces are even named after someone. Someone who died trying to bring it to the island, or someone who did some heroic deed that is retold every time the stone money changes hands. In a culture of just a few thousand people, without a written language, the stories behind the stone money are part of Yap's living history. Stone money is still used in Yap. To find out how, I went in search of a village elder near the stone money bank I'd visited. I found 74-year-old James Lucan sitting on his wooden porch, bare-chested, a skinny black cat purring in his lap.
Yeah, I have stone money. I have one given to me when I married my wife, and my wife's family gave it to my father, and they still have in my wife's village. Yeah, but I know...
That it belongs to you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a gentleman's agreement. Rather than getting those 20 strong men to lift stone money and carry it from village to village, the owner of a piece of stone money will just tell someone they're giving it to them, and why, and what the story is behind that particular piece. I ask the village elder, James Lucan, what happens if future generations forget who owns what. He says, actually, that's already starting to happen.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, those are ones that you saw, we don't know who owns them. It's only a few people that knows it's theirs or their family.
It used to be that the story of each piece of stone money and the record of who owned it and why was told and retold in the eerie A-frame bamboo and thatch men's houses where men would gather at night to swap tales and teach new generations ancient traditions. But these days, the men's houses aren't used so much. The younger generation is instead watching TV, listening to hip-hop, and hanging out in bars like this one. I ask a young guy with an attitude and multiple piercings in his ears what he thinks of stone money, whether it matters to him that it be passed on to him. I wonder how close the tradition is coming to just dying out. 22-year-old Brad Gorong sets me straight. He says, of course it matters.
Because it's valuable to us. The family that owns a stone money is very helpful to them. They can use that to make peace.
Yap seems peaceful enough these days, with its 12,000 people on a tiny set of islands, one foot in modernity and the other rooted in tradition. Perhaps the stone money and the stories and values behind it are part of what helps Yap keep its balance, however precarious, as it absorbs ever more trappings of the modern world. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Yap.
You can see some of Mary Kay's photos from Yap and read her reporter's notebook at theworld.org.